You're listening to Love Talk Live with the relationship expert, Jamie Bronstein, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Love Talk Live. I'm your host, Jamie Bronstein, and today I have with me Kenny Silva. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm so excited to interview you. I know you have a lot of inspiring and empowering things to say, and you have a wonderful life story to share also.
Thank you. Yes, I do. So as many women go through, I went through divorce. And as everybody knows, it's really a hard time. But there are a lot of things I learned that I would love to share with a lot of women. And it's honestly an inspirational story because a lot of women think about divorce like it's the end. There's nowhere to go. It's hard to start all over again. There's so many fears. Just for me, the biggest fear was just to tell my ex-husband, I want a divorce, just to admit to myself, I want it. And I've been married for 13 years. So it's really hard. And I started actually as a journal when I was going through divorce, a lot of emotions and fears and things. And once it was over, I'm like, oh my God, there's so much things that I want women to know. That's actually, divorce is like a rebirth. It's like giving birth to a child. It's extremely painful. It can take, you never know how long it's going to take, but at the end, it's a new life and you have to take opportunity and you have to take, you know, the new look at it. Like, what can you do if you start all over again? If you sit and cry, of course, your life is going to be miserable. But if you start thinking of the things you always wanted to do, this is your chance to start all over. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you know, you can still do it.
Absolutely. And there, we have so much to talk about. I would love to start with how you were talking about how it's hard to even just tell your husband that you want a divorce. I do want to tell the audience a little bit about you. So I'm going to read your bio and then we're going to jump right back in. So everybody, this is a little bit about Kenny. So Kenny Silva is a former model and OC socialite working in real estate while moonlighting as a friend of on the Real Housewives of Orange County. Kenny has become a red carpet notable, including this year's LACMA Gala, and is quickly growing as a press favorite, being featured in Guest of a Guest, Teen Vogue, Page Six, and Daily Mail. Kenny is currently working on a book about her high-profile divorce, making it about women, to help women and disrupt the scary one-sided process of divorce by writing a guidebook on all things you need to know to break up successfully. She just went through a high-profile divorce and is finally on the other side, and all she wants to do is empower women. So let's get back to that first step, because there are so many women out there that never take that step, whether they have kids and they stay together for the kids or there's fear. Tell us what happened inside of you. How did you muster up that courage, and how did you approach your husband and have that conversation?
I wanted to know what my options are 4 years before I ended my relationship. So I went to an attorney and I'm like, you know what? I want to know what it is if I'm going to go and file for divorce today. I do have two children, so I take it very seriously, and it's a big responsibility. And as a woman, I think that before you do any steps, you have to know all the options. So that way you are actually ready. Unfortunately, a lot of women look at it, going to a divorce attorney, it's like a big no-no. No, it's actually like going to the doctor to check instead of your health on the rest of your things. And you learn a lot. You learn this is what's going to happen. This is how custody works. This is how financials work. Because I think the number one lesson I learned, you really have to be prepared. They tell you what you need exactly. You know, even the steps before starting the divorce, even, you know, knowing all your financials, having all the tax returns, knowing if you can afford an attorney, because it's not that cheap. And they all take really big retainers. Yes, of course, in California, we do have public attorneys that you can just utilize for free. But still, there's so much to the divorce. It's not you just file and that's it, you're free. No. And especially for me, having children, I wanted to make sure that my kids are going to have the same lifestyle. They're not just because they decided to be happy and start free. I don't want them to miss out on anything. I don't want them to be unhappy, or I don't want their life to change. So first I went 4 years ago, I got all my options and I realized I'm just not ready. I'm not mentally ready. I'm not ready because financially ready. And, you know, and I decided to try my marriage again to see the things that, you know, why is it not working? And I went through, you know, times that I just decided to figure out what actually I want. Why do I want to get out of my marriage? You know, like what is in there that's not working out for me? Because obviously, you know, like we've been married for a very long time. We had kids. There was love. And I started writing down things that I want to change in my relationship. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. And then pandemic hit. And during pandemic, oh my God, you just realize that you are in one room, in one house, whatever it is, with the person. And unless you really partners, best friends, it's, you know, this is going to be the rest of your life. And there is no time to waste. And after pandemic, I realized I don't want to waste any more time. And actually, thank God I went 4 years ago to the divorce attorney because it was impossible to get to a divorce attorney. They would not take new clients. It was so bad. The divorce rate got so high after pandemic that it was insane. So I was like, oh my God, thank God. Just for one thing, you know, like I went. That's why I recommend, like, just go. You kind of like, exactly. It's like, you know, a lot of doctors, we don't take new patients until like 2 years later, but I might die by that. So this is exactly why I tell women, like, go. You never know when the pandemic comes in or something else, and there's going to be shortage, you know, in divorce attorneys, or at least the past ones. So I was so happy and relieved. And again, before I told my ex-husband, I went to the attorney and I said, this time I'm really ready to pull the trigger. And she said, you know what? This is what you need, because now it's a paperwork. And it's a big application you have to fill out and all these things. And so I did all that. Then I also started brain mapping that really helped me to calm down because I'm very emotional, which is most women are. And sometimes I say things and do out of impulse. So first I started brain mapping, which calmed me down tremendously. And the lady who did it, she's like, you're going to start seeing things in 3D. I'm like, what do you mean 3D? She's like, well, you're going to feel the emotion. You are going to analyze it, but you're not going to react. I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. That's exactly what I need. And I did that work all prior to I started that work doing it. And then when I was ready and I went to the attorney and I did this brain mapping and I came one day to my ex-husband and I said, you know, I think I want a divorce and we can talk. There's the things I would like to change in our relationship and, you know, I'm not happy. And it honestly was the scare. Like out of the whole divorce, I think that day was the scariest day of my life. It's just acknowledging and finally saying that I'm not happy. Like, I want to be out. And he didn't believe it. He was like, what? We had like the best life. We were so happy. I'm like, well, I'm a good actress, I guess. I don't know.
But okay. So what would he say? I watch a lot of these relationship shows and everybody, Bachelor, Bachelorette, everybody's always like, I'm blindsided. They were blindsided. It's such a cliche word now. However, did he feel blindsided? Did he feel, because it sounds like he was a little surprised. He said you guys had a great life. So was he a little surprised?
He was. He was a lot surprised. Even during our divorce, he still didn't think it will go through. He thinks I'm just making points and getting things that I want and I want him to change. And before divorce, I said, let's just go to family therapist. And, you know, like during divorce, he's like, well, I thought we're still figuring out. I'm like, no, when I asked to go to family therapist, we're working out. Once I filed for divorce, I'm done. I'm kind of person, like, I don't do it. Like one day I wake up, I'm like, okay, this is what I want. I think about it. I prepare myself for things. And when there's nothing left, then I'm like, okay, I cut the cord. But once I cut the cord, there's no turning back. I'm not that person that will change my mind. You know, and it's really painful and the kids are involved. So it's not something like I'm just doing it for fun, you know. And I guess I realized that maybe even after 13 years, it'd been 15 years, he still doesn't know me. And I told him, I'm like, I met my ex-husband when I was 23. Imagine I was 38 when I said that. I'm like, little girl grew up. I just changed.
Yeah. I mean, when you're 23 years old, you're a child. And sometimes it does work. My parents, bless them, they have been married for 51 years. They got married at 22, 23, whatever it was. But they were meant to be. It's so different. They grew up together. And people always ask me, like, what do I think is the reason why most people get divorced? And it doesn't matter whether you were young, you're old. I believe that people get divorced when they just marry the wrong person, and it's all okay. And maybe it was the right person for that time. Like, at the time, you made the right decision for that time, and then you grew and you evolved and things changed, and it's all okay. So I honor you and I acknowledge you for trusting yourself and trusting your heart and doing what's good for you. I don't call it selfish. I call it self-full.
Yes. Thank you. No, and it's exactly how I look at it. You know, I look at it, relationship is like an investment, you know, like, okay, I made an investment when I was 20. I didn't know much, you know, and it didn't work out. It's okay. Does it mean I'm going to stop investing? No. Does it mean I'm going to get upset? No, I just learned my lessons. Now when I'm, you know, I just turned 40, I know myself. That's the thing I think too, because you do grow up so much, 20, 30, it's so different. And now I know exactly what I want. I know exactly what I expect from other people. And it just, you know, I'm more tolerable to certain things, but if some things are not there, I don't want to tolerate it. You know, I'm very giving and pleasing person. That's why for me, it's easy to get into the relationship and continue until I'm like, okay, I need some self-love. It's a big thing now, like self-love. Like, okay, finally, like, I want to do that. What is it? Like, because I usually, like, my ex-husband was, you know, like my first priority, my children, like I was always last, you know, and I didn't even know. And it's so funny. I remember the first time somebody asked me, like, what do you like, what do you want? And I'm like, honestly, I don't know, because it's always about them. I don't know what I like. I don't know. It's like, and I started from this little things once I got divorced, like trying to find out, like, what do I actually like? Because, you know, obviously what I like when I was in my 20s, it's so different. So I started by trying different things, you know, just to figure out, like, what do I like? What do I want? Where I want to go? What do I want to do? I have a lot of degrees. I do real estate, as you know. But I'm like, I don't want to do any of those things. I want to change. And this is how I'm like, you know what? I want to write a book. And I believe every person, no matter, you know, what they did in the past, they can switch and they can start doing it. As long as they put the heart and the hard work, they can do whatever they want. And that's why I started doing it. I'm like, I'm going to write a book and it's going to be a successful book, because I know everything I put into it's a success.
Absolutely. Well, I love everything you're saying, and I'm going to be sending you a copy of my book.
Oh my God, I'm
Man Affesting, because in my book, I talk about helping people help to figure out what they want, who they are, and how to manifest that right man. So I'm going to send you a copy. I love what you were saying about – so I always say that in a relationship, it's okay to compromise but not to sacrifice. And it sounds like you did a lot of compromising but also sacrificing. When I say sacrifice, I mean like out of your integrity, maybe things that didn't really feel good to you, but you did them anyway. So it sounds like now you're working on really figuring out how to stay in your integrity. And then it sounds also like in your book, you're going to be teaching women how to just do everything that feels good to you and that with no questions.
Yes. And, you know, I started it myself. Like learning those things, like putting boundaries, saying no. I changed my whole group friend when I was going through divorce, because I realized that, you know, a lot of fears come because you're afraid to be judged. And people who know you, they don't know how to, you know, some people have so much opinion, some people don't. And I told my friends, I said, listen, like, I don't want to put you in the middle, because, you know, I mean, I know so many people who work out actually during divorce, and but it becomes ugly, and then friends have no idea what to do. So I got the whole group of friends who never even met my ex-husband. So there was no for them even talking about it. There was no judgment. There was nothing, which is, I think, is one of that's what I teach women. Like, it's okay. You can just, you know, like start a little bit by get a new group of friends, get a little new interest, so you don't have those fears of what are they going to say? Or, you know, like, what are they going to think? Like, why am I doing this? Because I feel we women overthink so many things that's not there. And this is also I teach in my book that men and women are so different. Men look at the divorce as a business deal. Like, okay, how can I get out of this small amount of time with less amount of money? Women, we feel so emotionally connected to this process that's why we get lost. That's why it gets so long, because we're trying, you know, no matter who is what, we're trying to compensate. We're trying the guy to compensate for those emotions and, you know, like the feelings we have. And the moment you start realizing that even during divorce, we all say things we don't really mean, you know, but men move on so fast. And we don't, and we hold it inside us. And he said this, and he did this, and did it, and it eats up us instead of just like, just be cold hearted, like, okay, this is business. How I'm gonna treat it? I'm gonna treat it with no emotions, because, you know, that's the best way. You just need to, like, for me, freedom was everything. And I lived through divorce in the house with my ex. So to me, just getting out of that house was the biggest priority before anything, you know, making sure my kids are good and the rest. So then I started thinking, like, okay, because I learned my ex-husband is an amazing businessman, and I always looked like he had, you know, those things don't really stress him out, because he's so used to business losses, and he's like, oh, it's just another loss. So that's what he said about our divorce, you know. And then I realized they do look at it just another loss. You know, there is no, if you ever ask a guy, for example, you know, like about divorce, they're like, oh my God, thank God. Like, it's such an easy process for them. When I say to a woman, oh, I'm divorced, they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, well, why? That's how, you know, like men look at it as like, hooray. And girls look at it like, oh my God, you poor thing, this is it. You know, and that's the reality.
What's so interesting is, so I've been doing this work for 20 years, and actually there are a lot of men that don't want the divorce, and they are not happy about it, let me tell you. And they make their ex-wives' lives hell. Like, I can think of two clients right now. So that would be great and easy for women out there if all men were just like, done, good. Not like, separated.
Well, mine was like that. It was not easy, but I learned the communication, how to talk to him. And so I didn't say like in the way that he's like, you know what? I think it's a great idea. No, of course he didn't want it, but at least it was a reason. And I always tell him like, listen, you're my best friend. I grew up with you. You're my family. Like, now we have the best relationship. I know it was hard for him. It was hard for me. I know we have children. We bonded for a very long time. But the communication is the key. It's very hard to do. It's very hard to listen. It's very hard to forgive. It's very hard to say, I still love you. I'm just not in love with you anymore. You know, I'll be there for you. And, you know, it works like magic for them. Trust me.
And so is he now like so much better with things, and you guys really are able to be friends? I don't know, like, timeline.
Yes.
Like, when,
yeah. When it's been officially a year since we divorced. We divorced April 12. I moved out May 1st. It's officially a year. And we do talk a lot. And, you know, obviously we have kids, but we do talk now like friends. We laugh again, you know, at things, which is amazing. But it's all through communication. If I just didn't want it to communicate, we would have been like the worst enemies. And because I know I did hurt his feelings by saying I don't want to be married, but I chose to forgive, forget, whatever, why I was not happy. Because, you know, I think that's the start. You can't just, you know, think about all the little things that made you unhappy. And, you know, it's like, is this his fault? Maybe not. So I don't want to judge that. But I always look forward, not backwards. I'm trying to. I mean, there's days where I'm like, oh my God, like, well, why? But, you know, the communication with, and I realized this is the person I really want to communicate. I really want to be in a great relationship for my children, because when my kids see we can talk and we can laugh, they feel happy. You know, mm-hmm. we actually during divorce, go through divorce, we used to travel together with children. because I wanted the kids to feel normal until the actually the whole day of separation. Until then, so, and even after we had a, we, after we got divorced in July, we took the kids with our friends to Vietnam for 2 weeks. And it was great for them. They saw, you know, it's hard. It's a lot of work. I'm not saying it's easy. And my ex-husband is not the easiest person in the world. But you do the work. You know, I did it for my children. I wanted them to feel, you know, that they still have a family unit. Yes, now they do have two homes. They do have two loving parents. But they will always have us. You know, I didn't want them to feel that, okay, well, now my mom's going to be on her own. Like, my dad is going to be like, we just neglected. And I always told him, I'm like, no, you're always going to have a mom. You're always going to have a dad. You're going to have two homes, you know, which is exciting. But, you know, your life didn't change. You have a family unit. And we're going to, you know, and now they see that, yeah, it was hard for them to adjust to new homes. But they see that because we communicate, if my son wants, or my daughter's like, oh, mom, can I go like on Cinco de Mayo, it's your day, can I go with the dad to a party? I'm like, of course, go. Like, do it. Because it's important for them to feel also that freedom, that it's not, because one day my daughter's like, well, it wasn't my choice, you know, that you guys got divorced. I don't even have a, and she's 14, I don't even have a say into the schedule. So why would you blame me if this happens on dad's day and I want to go, you know, like with you? And it's true. And then I thought, that's true. It's not, she has no say in it. She cannot say what it is. She has to adjust to the schedule. So the best, what we can do is at least to, you know, say, you know what, it's okay, it's my day, you can take her, to make it easier on them. Because to me, it's not a big deal if, you know, the kids are going to spend extra day with me or more days, you know, like with him. It's about adjusting to the new life after divorce and make it a normal for everyone, not just me and him.
Yes. And it's so nice to communicate with your ex and to both be on the same page and to not, and to let go of that, any resentment, animosity, so that you can exist, coexist, and co-parent for the kids.
Yes.
If you're not going to stay together for the kids, which I never recommend, get divorced and do it so that the kids can be as well-adjusted as possible. And I, once again, I commend you, because I don't think that people give children enough credit. I think that people think that they're going to ruin their kids' lives. But the truth is that divorce is, you know, around 50%. It happens. It happens a lot. And the amount of children in this world that are adults now that are perfectly well-adjusted, perfectly happy, just because, you know, they didn't get their lives screwed up because their parents got divorced. The most important thing is that you love your children. No matter what, no matter whose house they're living in, no matter what happens, if you love your children, which I know you do, and that is the message I'm sure you talk about in your book, then everybody is going to be not just okay, but everybody's going to thrive.
Yes. And, you know, I told my children, which was the hardest thing to tell them, like, okay, mommy and daddy are not going to be together. You're going to be, have two homes. And they had a fear of losing a parent. They like, okay, well, how is it going to be like when we, obviously I spent with my children, you know, like most of the time, like most moms do, because my ex-husband was working. And for them, like not having a mom figure during the times with dad was a little bit scary in the beginning. So I told them, I said, listen, I will always be there for you. If you call me in the middle of the night that you forgot something or you want me to come, if you call me in the morning, I'll be there. And I did that the first 6 months, because this is how long I feel like it takes the adjustment. I was there. They called me. They forgot the brush. They forgot the book. They just wanted to see me. I was there. I was always there. So then they just realize that, you know what, mom is not going anywhere. She's always going to be there. You know, obviously later on they learned, like, okay, this is a dad's day, so I have to remember all these things. This is mom's day. It's like I have to, they matured actually. You know, that's why I also say in my book things, I always look at a positive. Like my kids were, you know, living in a pink, beautiful bubble in Newport Beach. You know, they don't know a lot of things. They don't know where, you know, they didn't know how to make their food and things. And this made them very self-sufficient. They can now, they, you know, besides you know, figure in their backpacks and stuff. They know days of the week, the schedule. Like, it matured them in a way that I think they are ready now to not so co-depend on parents, which I think is a great thing, honestly, yeah. Because I was worried, like, oh, okay, I'll send you to boarding school, you know, like, so you can get a little bit mature. Because I grew up in Russia, in Moscow. I was at 14, I started modeling, and I already was so mature. And I live in a big city, so it's like New York. So I knew exactly, you know, how to get on a train, how to get like an hour away trip. My kids don't know that. They don't know. Basically, I took them to New York. They're like, Mom, why everybody, you know, all the cars are going on grid. I'm like, well, it's New York. You kind of have to watch out. Like, this is a big city. So, you know, there's always positive in every negative. So I look at it this way. I don't concentrate on little things that's, oh, my God, I'm ruining my kid's life. I'm like, no, I'm teaching my daughter that if you don't want or you're not happy, you can always walk away. And it's okay. And you shouldn't be doing focus, because I did. I thought it's going to be easier when they're a little bit older. Trust me, you don't want to have a teenager, you know, going through a divorce, because you hear all kinds of things. They're all true, you know, but it's even more hurtful. And, you know, yeah. And when they're little, it's actually easier because they don't talk. They don't really understand. My son at the time, he was 9. Like, he was not really understanding what's going on. But a teenager does. So there's no, definitely no reason waiting for kids to be older. You know, it's easier when they're little because they're just faster to things. And, you know, they understand less. They just, you know, they catch up on things faster. So.
And also just thinking about timing, I think that so many people push off divorce because of a million different excuses. It's not the right time yet. I can't do it now. I can't do it now. I can't do it now. And it sounds like you had that initial conversation 4 years ago or 4 years before you actually did it. And it's a journey. And then you eventually get to that point where there's always going to be an excuse. You just have to pull the trigger. But it also sounds like you got to the point where you, not that you confirmed, because it sounds like you knew, but you were just really done.
Yes. I think it was also the fear of change. That was my biggest thing. Like, I'm going to have to change my life, my kids' lives, you know, starting all over, like, you know, even moving to a different house is a big adjustment. It's, you know, and you know, the other thing I realized after 2 months living by myself in the house that, you know what, like, before I always had a person, like my ex-husband, to call if I have a problem. Like, okay, like, and now I don't. It's all me. It's like every little
detail. You had to grow up also. Your kids are growing up. You're growing up.
Exactly. And it's not like, listen, I do real estate. I know exactly where to call and how to call, but it's just the feeling that you don't have that back behind you. That, I think, the thought is like, wow, like, I'm really on my own. Like, this is like, everything depends on me, you know, and it's not just a financial thing. It's a little things from I went and I bought the new car. And because all the past cars were in my ex-husband's name, I didn't have a car history. I mean, I do have a credit history, and it's amazing, but the car history is something new, and I didn't know that. And they're like, oh, you don't have, like, the last time you bought a car, you were in your 20s with, you know, if you don't want to pay cash, all the whole amount. So you do need a car history. And they're like, okay, unfortunately, you're going to have to put a bigger deposit. Da, 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 da. It's like starting all over again, that this little things that you don't realize until you're there, you know, that it all takes. That's why I'm saying, like, in my book, I also teach women, a lot of women don't even have a credit history because everything is through their ex-husband. Thank God I did. And, you know, I had my work and stuff, but I tell women, like, okay, you're going to have to open like a smallest credit card. I don't think American Express is going to open a card for you, but you can start like one of those shop things just to build your credit, just to have one, because a lot of women don't. And this is where you start thinking, like, it's a lot of little details that you don't really realize. You don't know. There's so many bills come with it, not just the health insurance or like, you know, like, there's so many things that, besides, you just got divorced, you're so overwhelmed with just the still in emotions and adjustment. And it's like, then there is all this thing. So I tell her, actually, in my book, the first 6 months, it's adjustment period. You just have to let yourself, don't have a big, you know, plans that, okay, I'm going to do that. No, just take it easy, take it slow, but like it's building foundation, brick by brick, every day. But the first 6 months, just, you know, like let yourself rest, let yourself, you know, like rebuild yourself, let yourself realize, you know, all the new things you want to do. And just, it's time just to settle everything and put the foundation to your new life. Don't rush. There is no rush anymore. You're free. This is it. You're there.
Yes. Well, I love everything you're saying. It's so inspirational. And especially the alone part. I think that when you start to learn how to do things on your own, it feels empowering. And also, I would like to say to anybody who feels alone, whether it's a breakup, divorce, you're just single in general, you're never really alone. No one is ever alone. If you want to use it spiritually, we're never alone. We're always, you know, I don't know how spiritual you are. We're never really alone. We're always held by whatever you want to call it, God, the universe. But also, reach out to those friends. There are friends, there are people in your life, there's family, there's always at least one person that loves you unconditionally. And so I know that people feel alone, but I think it's an illusion. And I think it's a defense mechanism also. So I would just recommend to, if you are feeling alone, to take action and do something about it. Call up that favorite friend, go out and laugh, because divorce, breakups, any type of situation like this, it can be heavy. It can not be fun necessarily. So I would say try to bring as much lightheartedness to your heart and your life, because it can be heavy.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. And one thing you said is about love. And this is actually, I'm writing the book that's going to have humor to it. So when you, if I want to read a book and it's boring, I'm going to put it down. But if I read something that's light and interesting and funny, this is what I want to continue. And I think laughter is one of the things that helps with almost everything. And that's, you know, my book is, I'm trying to change the minds of a lot of women or men that, you know, it's not something like that radically scary. If you're very prepared, if you know what to expect. Yes, I had emotions and I had days where I was like, oh my God, like who can I call? You know, I called the hotline. It was 15 minute wait. And I'm like, wait a minute, I can like do something. Like then I started like, okay, listening to podcasts and things, and it all helped. And this is where I say like a lot of resource, how to help and to expect, because I had a lot of girlfriends went through divorce and they're like, oh my God, you're gonna love it. It's gonna be the best life. And then when I was going through divorce, I was like, wait a minute, this is getting like, I'm getting myself into a really dark tunnel. It's getting really scary. Like, why nobody told me that before? But this is why I said, listen, it's gonna be very scary times. And this is why I tell women, like, never do any decisions out of fear. Always wait 24 hours before deciding something, you know, like, or if you get an email from your attorney, like, always wait, give yourself time to adjust. There's no, you know, rush. And this is the little things and tricks, but if I read that book, I would be more prepared. I'm not saying it happened the way it happened, but if I read that, I would have known so many things which I cried over. I would be like, you know what, this is, you know, it's just a normal thing for divorce. It's okay. Like this will pass, or things like that. That's why I want a woman to read the book and know those things. I talk about prenup. I talk about how you actually can change them during divorce. It's not just for women going through a divorce. It's for women, you know, getting married, because you have to know how to do all these things and what to be prepared or how you can change. I had a prenuptial agreement, you know, but there is certain things you can do to change it during, you know, your marriage, or there's, you know, things how you can talk to your children and make it easier, or how you can just financially preparation for the divorce. You know, that's a big thing, because that's, I think, a number one thing that a lot of women are scared. Like, how I'm going to be if they never worked, or if they did work, but still the male was the main provider, like how I'm going to do it. That's why I'm preparing. Once you prepare, it's like going to any test. Like once you know what to expect and you kind of, you know, like mentally ready, you know, the it's easier. It's so much easier. It's not. And then when you change the mentality that it's not the end, it's the beginning, then it's even better. It's like, okay, it's like, okay, I just need to get to that finish line that this is it. I'm free. Like, I may be in Paris this weekend. I don't know, you know? So this is the thoughts that make it easier.
Yes, that mental mindset, that shifting from negative to the positive, or I always say it's shifting from the negative into the negative narrative into the truth, really what the truth is.
Exactly.
And then everybody will just, you know, be in their integrity and honor themselves and end up with the right person. Okay, so we are out of time. How can people find you, follow you, hear about your book, etc.?
So you can follow me on Instagram, Kenny Silva. The book is in the making, but it's going to be out very soon. And but you can start following on Instagram and then you're going to see all the updates. Or you're going to read it somewhere in the magazine. I don't know.
Well, yes, I'm sure it's going to be a huge success. Congratulations on it. And
Thank you.
You know, I just wrote a book. I know it's a long journey. There's the divorce journey. There's the book journey. There's lots of hard work and wonderful journeys, right?
Exactly. It's all about the journey, actually. You know, like I read yesterday, like it doesn't matter the outcome. You just need to learn how to enjoy the journey.
Yeah. And we all have journeys. Okay. And everybody can follow or can find me at therelationshipexpert.com. All my information is there. Thank you so much for joining us today. You are a wonderful guest.
Thank you.
So nice to talk to you. I wish you so much success with everything that you do. And everybody join us, Love Talk Live, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific. I'm Jamie Bronstein, your host, and I will see you next week. Thank you so much. Bye.
You're listening to Love Talk Live with the relationship expert, Jamie Bronstein, only on LA Talk Radio.